somebody's told me that this business about the VIPs and the well-off people who had carriages, that they, in the earlier days, I think this must go back into the 19th century, they have their carriages put on wagons. You know the loading dock where there used to be the turntable? Yeah. They put the carriages onto the wagons there and then pull them up, take them with them.
I don't know about that, but the people who came in their horse-drawn carriages as such, land horses, I think they might call them, came from Swillington House. Now, the Bellamy's was the licorice all-sort man. They lived in Lawrence House. They lived so near the station, it didn't really matter that they had to come round in one of these. They did have one, though. They did have a landau. Well, I'm thinking of these people who lived in Swillington House and Leventhorpe Hall, that's it, Leventhorpe Hall. They used to come in the old landaus type of things. And, of course, I got to know the coachman, is whatever they called them in them days. I think they might have had another name than coachman, not butler, certainly, if I know. And they used to say to me, they'd drop off the bigwigs, you know, to go on the train. And they used to say to me, do you want to ride back with me? And, of course, I say yes. And I knew I'd a long walk back from Leventhorpe Hall. That's where, you know, but I was all sat there with the chap with the big whip, going over the bridges up to where they were going. And
it kind of sounds like you didn't spend much time at school.
Yeah, well, this was probably during school holidays, probably, but it was nice to have a ride back on the high-stepping horses and all this, you know.
What do you remember about the brewery when you were growing up?
Well, yes, Bentley's Brewery, of course. They brewed all the local beer, of course. There was Old Timothy was one of their special brews. That was always in the bottle, because otherwise it was all draft beer. We knew quite a people who worked in the brewery, didn't we? Well, I can't remember all the names, but the whiskey always came from a place called Mark Inch in Scotland, and that was a full van. Used to come, there'd probably be about several hundred bottles of whiskey, black and white whiskey. It was in these boxes. And this Mr. Bushell used to have to go across and have to check it religiously into the brewery from the van.
And what time of year did that come?
That used to come probably about once a month. Yes, even right through the war, up to me being called up, because of beer and spirits was all classed as essentials for the troops, you know. He was so dedicated with this Mr. Bushell, you know, everything had to be so prim and proper. I was in the office and he came in one day, he was almost in tears. He says, I've just been across to the brewery and we've opened the van, he says, and there's nothing in it. What had happened, it used to come, of course, mainland freight from Scotland to Hunslet, which was the main marshalling yard, and somebody obviously being in, they knew what it was, and they pinched the lock, and they'd gone. the sale, but that had gone, they got old stuff to, you know, cutters and things, and they wanted a bottle of whiskey left. So I think it was doubly checked after that with the whatever police there was to even check it, you know, the war. But yes, that was a regular thing.
And did they send beer out from the station?
Well, that was something else. It was beer, yes. We used to make at least five or six big open trucks, because it was all in barrels, hogsheads or something, whatever they call it. They went out nearly every day. The output was terrific because of course their own delivery lorries as well. But a friend of ours who lived in the village, they used to take some of the beer by horse and trailer, you know, and used to go as far as right into North Yorkshire and into Northumberland, and it set off on the Monday, and you wouldn't get back home till Friday, yeah. Because we had four horses, you used to have to change the horses somewhere on the way. Probably, I don't know if the A1 went that far. But yeah, he was a regular.
And do you remember steam lorries from the brewery?
I do, yes, I do, yeah.
And where did they go?
Pretty local, I think. I do remember them, yeah. But like the old traction engine type of thing, you mean, don't you? Yeah, I remember them, yeah.
And you talked about the Armitage's, the quarry and the brickworks.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you remember what they used to export or send away from the station?
Well, it was bricks. All bricks, to my knowledge. I can't remember anything else before the war. It was all bricks. Yeah, they used to be in kind of a pack, you know, together. We were able to seal them. I don't know how many was in a pack, say 100 bricks or something, but that's the way that their bricks used to go.
And they put them on the wagons at the brickworks and then brought them through on the siding. Is that how that worked?
There was a siding entrance, railway entrance, into the brickworks. It was all on some land that the line came near to where Waterhead Colliery was.
You just take you back. You said there was a trip train freight. A trip freight came from Hunslet in the morning.
Every day.
Yeah. Unloaded wagons. Was there another trip that came later in the day to take wagons away?
There was, yeah.
What time of day was that?
That used to come between about 5 and 6 o'clock. And this rhubarb that used to go to Covent Garden and to South Wales, that was into vans, big vans, almost like a passenger van. And that used to be put onto this special train, not special, but the normal service train, which was going to Derby. And then it was put forward onto the faster freight that was going through to London. Or South Wales, whichever way, you know, through Birmingham, that way.
So they brought the rhubarb in and wagons, trucks, to the station and loaded it on there.
It came in big boxes, which came from the rhubarb places, you know, which I think is still the place in which is always on the television, somebody called Aldroyd's in Carlton. Yes, it came in these big boxes and it was unloaded by hand at the station, yeah. Yeah.
So this trip freight that they used in the morning that came from Hunslet and then the evening they went back, did that just come to Woodlesford or was it going to other stations on the line,
no,
do you know?
It just went to Woodlesford because we had so much stuff at Woodlesford. You know, it was like the centre. So from the brewery or whatever, we could always make a train up nearly every night. Goods going all over the country. Yeah. Because, I mean, this firm called Hulses, which made all this paint, we might get 200 or 300 cartons a night to paint, which were all big cartons with all different kinds of paints in, yeah. So we soon filled the truck up, yeah. Yeah, a very busy station. That's why I joined up, Daddy do.
Yeah. I like the way you say we, that you must have been what? You were 5 when you got there, so you were 10 in 1935.
Yeah.
It's as though you were working on the station yourself.
Probably was, yes. Doing things we shouldn't have done.
Doing things we shouldn't have done, swinging around.
We used to swing on the crane in this big warehouse, you know, nearly go up to the roof. It was very dangerous. If my father didn't know, and I don't know what he'd done with it, you know. There was a four-wheeled barrow. There was the two-wheeler, which, you know, put luggage, hand luggage and stuff. But there was a four-wheeled barrow, which, depending on where the traffic was going by passenger train, which was, and luggage quite often was used that way. And the wheels were kind of made of iron, and they were always a long kind of handle, which on the bigger stations you used to see all kind of connected up and pulled by a little electric truck of that sort. Well, we had just one of those at Woodlesford, which we used to keep a bit out of sight near the station buildings. When the station was more or less closed, there was always a porter on duty, but he never really said anything to us. I thought if he tells my father, we'll be in trouble. Well, we always had a few friends coming, you know, to play with us, so to speak, and they used to come, and we used to bring this four-wheel little truck right to near the entrance to Station Lane, where the path for the pedestrians to walk and started, near the main gates, and it used to slightly dip down towards the platform, and we used to jump on this thing. I was like thinking in charge, I was doing the steering. There were two or three, bit like doing a ski job, you know, where somebody pushes and jumps on. They'd all jump on and we all used to set off and it used to gather speeds. And by the time, of course, the yard goes around, by the time we got to the Leeds platform, we were always going quite quick. And anyhow, this particular day, we were going quicker than we should have done. And I shouted, "Jump off, we aren't going to make it." So they jumped off. And there was a bit of a brake, which was a kind of a chain which you're supposed to put round the wheels to keep it stable, you know. And I'd all on to try and stop it, but I couldn't stop the truck. And it went straight towards the platform, and the front two wheels went on over the end of the platform, which was quite about 2 foot, and of course the main handle on the thing. And we were all white-faced with what's going to happen, and I looked up. And that signal I'm telling you about near the bridge, I saw the two arms go up And I think it was the Devonian that were coming. I said, what are we going to do here? We're going to derail the train that's going through about 70 miles an hour. So I had to jump onto the track and got somebody else down with me. We really struggled to lift this bit because it was solid iron back onto the platform and kind of pulled it back off the platform. Train come rushing through. So that could have been the end of Woodlesford Station and us. But I never told my father. It was a bit dodgy.
You didn't get found out?
No, we didn't, very fortunately. We would have been in jail or Borstal or something. It was another thing, yeah.
Tell me about the appearance of the station, Cyril, in the 30s. Was it a pretty place?
Well, there was provision for a bit of a garden on the same side of where the signal box is. And when they had town, the porters used to try and make it look nice. There was always a few flowers, even if it was only like marigolds, stuff that grew easily and sweet. There was some sweet peas, which I think were kind of wild things, and they came because there was a bit of a shelter as well on that side for the passengers. It used to grow up very near this shelter, and they were lovely because they used to come every summer. These sweet peas, there was always a lovely perfume, but they weren't planted. They must have been there from years before. Yeah, it was always pretty clean. My father was pretty strict on that. It was swept, and he used to have to mop the waiting rooms out and clean all the grates and make sure the old black paint or whatever they were doing on the fire grates in the main waiting room and that. So, yes, it was always pretty smart, pretty good.
Tell me about your dad and what happened to him then at the end of the 1930s going into the 40s.
Yeah, well, in 1937 he had this accident at Hunslet Station when he was seen to a rugby special going to Wembley. When he got onto what we call the running board of this very old carriage, like with a brake van, actually. And it was corroded and he fell back, I would say, 8 or 9 feet, with his back over one of the lines behind him. And I remember my mother saying, after the accident, come and have a look at your dad. He was in bed, but he actually didn't have any time off work. And he was just black and blue, his back. It was horrible to see. And of course, he carried on working. Well, it was about a year after that he had this very severe stroke, just a fortnight before the family were going on holiday to Bournemouth, and of course that was the end of the holiday, we didn't go. And he was off work then round about a year, and that was the case, to have a medical to see, are you fit to come back to work, or are we going to have to give you another job? And he did have this medical, and the railway doctor failed him. He said, no, he says, you're after the stroke, you're not well enough to come and do the job that you've been doing. And they did offer him another job, which he just wouldn't entertain. It wasn't a station master, so he just turned it down. And said, well, we'll have to retire on ill health, which they did in 1938. And, of course, we had to come here because they wanted a new station master. And we had to get out of the house, and that was it.
So he'd only be in his mid-40s when that happened, then?
Yeah, he was.
And did anybody connect the accident at Hunslet with the heart attack?
No, I don't think they did. I think it was all kept quiet, which he shouldn't have done.